McLean's music. I got so much to cover the next couple of days, and we'll obviously, you know, be ready to shift gears. They'll draw the rest of the Arkansas Derby Day card today. They drew the field yesterday for the Arkansas Derby. There's also an undercurrent that's going to run to Saturday here in South Florida. Because between Boca Raton and Miami, Florida Atlantic and the University of Miami, Saturday here is going to be very strange because the game, I think the Florida Atlantic game is the early game.
Is it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
And there's also Rich Hang is sitting on future tickets with UConn. I think Miami and one of the other. We gotta check with Rich.
I know he's got a lot of rooting. Just my son Tony went to Miami. Florida Atlantic.
Did he really?
And my son-in-law Mark went to University of Miami as I did.
Wow.
So we're Hurricanes, but.
Well, I also sent out a congratulations to Aaron Yagoda, who's University of Miami grad. I think Adam went to University of Miami. If he didn't actually go and attend classes, I'm sure he was there, you know.
Wait, there were dead classes?
That's a rumor.
My classes were mostly held at Tropical Park.
Yes.
And Hialeah.
And the Gulf Stream.
Biscayne Kennel Club.
Right. What's the Flagler?
Flagler.
Dog Track.
Well, Miami Fronton was the best. That was the...
Where did Joey play?
Joey played at Dania, but Miami was Guaristi, Chiruca, Chanoa, all the Basque. When you want to talk highlight with guys, it's like talking about Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb. And, man, that's the depth of... These guys used to run up the side of the walls. They'd run 8, 10 feet up the side of the wall.
But then they'd also come in for a little dribbler, and the Palomino would spin out of their set stuff.
Right.
And you'd be like, what the what? Come on!
Yeah. Well, we used to go for the last 3 or 4 games every night because you got in free. And that was when the best players, they saved the best players for the
late games.
The penultimate game was the...
That was the feature.
That was the feature, yeah. But they would run, they'd do 12 games. You know, because they ran them. Bing, bing,
yeah,
bing. They didn't
wrap
them. It wasn't a half an hour. And there was no post parade.
I mean, it was
a post parade, but it was.
Well, they come walking out.
They bow and wave their sisters.
It
was a great game.
It is a great game. We had the strange situation where, out of the blue in Hartford, all of a sudden in Connecticut, we had 3 Frontons.
Right.
Milford, Bridgeport, and Hartford.
I used to go to Bridgeport. I used to drive from Jersey to Bridgeport to bet on highlight. That's just a watch. I went to bet.
You had a system.
I had a system.
You tried to teach me the system.
It worked for a while. It works occasionally. But then I converted it to a trifecta system.
Yes.
And then I incorporated biorhythms. So. The player's biorhythms.
Too fun. They took it all away. They took it all away from us.
This is the life we chose.
When you could come here or to Hialeah, then you'd go to the dog track, then you'd go to
Highline. Sure.
We did the Turnip, and then we went to
Hollywood Dog Track,
and then Paolo's.
Paolo's for dining and dancing.
The Super Fan.
That's right.
John Perrott is here, and John will be back on Thursday too. When Hammer's here, we're going to turn it over to him, and we're going to get he doesn't know it yet, but we're going to get Lakeau in here.
Oh, perfect!
And you guys are going to talk about turf racing and karting races and the evolution and God knows what. Should be. I'll just sit back and listen. We're going to sit back and listen to John White regale us with his thoughts about the 3-year-old. Scene. We've done a little bit of everything already this morning. And then Tom Fletcher. T.A. Pletcher, who with all the carrying on about the Baffert horses, the Acting horses, the Cox horses, Todd's got four. It looks like he's going to have four maybe in the Derby. So Todd, and we got to talk about the crazy filly, Money's Gold. She of the 106 buyer, a new track record at 7/8 at Oldsmar. They run a few races at 7/8 at Tampa, I think. Back after this, the Gulfstream. Stay with us.
Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the Safe Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hoofs, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action of thrilled horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Bonds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the bowling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing off to a fast start. The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Winter Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Walshbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Lenders are able to generate electronic invoices from owners or other vendors who have paid through Walshbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work in your minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself with the only or low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Walshbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Walshbills.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Show me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk in through and people fall for you, how I want to be like you.
Florida, South Florida, and speaking of South Florida, We were talking about Florida Atlantic and University of Miami. Casey, who I didn't even realize, Casey is Case is also a
Hurricanes.
Yeah. Hurricanes. And I'm gonna, you know, I'm just gonna guess, and I don't know if I'm right about this, and I don't want to talk too much basketball because John White is on the line with us, and he, I'm sure he's not happy about Gonzaga, about his Zags. This has now become a theme, to be honest. A little, it's got to be. All right, John, we'll talk about the Zags. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, one thing about it, they just ran into a buzzsaw there. UConn, my goodness, they looked like Equinox. I thought they were the basketball version of Equinox, who was so impressive in Dubai. And at least halfway through the second half, I just flipped over the channel and started watching Yellowstone reruns. So there really was no point in being a masochist about it. So, and by the way, speaking with you, with all your travels, you know, you are the no double of horse racing broadcasters. No double, one of my favorite horses from the 1960s, who was nicknamed the Arkansas Traveler. He was an Arkansas bred who, from coast to coast, won big races like the Arkansas Derby, the Santa Anita Handicap, the Met Miles. So he was just a wonderful horse, I thought. And you're the no double of the broadcasting business and horse racing to me. And so, and then the Pepper's Pride. When you hear that name, Pepper's Pride, how can you not, how can it not bring a smile to your face? It certainly does with me. 19 for 19, and you know, she never ran in a maiden race. She won 19 races, but her first career start wasn't in a maiden race, it was in an allowance race at Ruidoso. So, and it was so great to hear the trainer. I mean, he's so humble about it, and you know, just has done, he did such a fantastic job with Pepper's Pride. And what a, that was wild with Wild and Ice. It was sort of like Wild again in that first Breeders' Cup Classic. I mean, that, I was sitting there, my jaw dropped when that horse got up to win. So that was really exciting.
Kind of a crazy, the whole race kind of had a, I don't know how to really describe it other than to say, if you didn't see it last night, I would suggest people pull it up themselves and watch. It was a bit of a three-ring circus, and just when it, you know, just when it looked like Henry Q had put away Hard to Figure, the 2 seconds later, they basically got to him, and you know, here came the Redham. There was the Redham runner, and here came Wild on Ice as the longest shot on the board. Crazy.
You guys were talking with Rich McLaurie earlier about the art of riding a front runner. I really enjoyed that discussion because that really is an art for the jockeys that are outstanding and doing that. It's one of the best I've ever seen in my decades in this game. Gary Stevens is one. And you think of that ride on Winning Colors in the Kentucky Derby, where he used her best weapon, her speed, that opened up on that far turn. And that was really the big key to the race, I thought. And then another jockey to me that was just phenomenal with that was Pat Valenzuela. We actually had kind of a demonstration of that yesterday at Santa Anita in the feature race, the Angels Flight, as Amir Dio just took it to him with Fast and Shiny. It was a tough day for Bob Backert at Sunland Park. And if you're on a day where Bob Backert's kind of having some disappointments on the racetrack, he gets Fast and Shiny to win as the longest shot on the board. How often does that happen with Bob Backert, where he's the longest shot in a stakes race on the board at 7-1, and but it was a really cagey ride by Sadio. He just took that filly speed and used it to her best advantage. She really cut the corner too, and that's a big important aspect to running down that hill, which is, you know, I think of you, Stephen, that hill, because you were so reticent to play races down that hill until Hammerly got you involved with that cutback angle, which is, I'll tell you, it's one of those angles that was a lot better back in the day because it wasn't
it's still a very effective handicapping angle, horses cutting back a distance to come down the hill. But that Fast and Shiny just cut the corner so beautifully, and to me, she kind of actually gained about a half a length by doing that, and she was able to hold off Teen Ella to win by a half a length, and that was a big race for Teen Ella. She stepped into the States ranks as the daughter of the great Beholder, so certainly it's wonderful to see an offspring of Beholder with this kind of ability.
Well, a couple of quick notes, John, I want to slip in. People need a reminder. You may not recall from Friday that they're running today at Santa Anita.
That's right.
1 o'clock post, 8 race card, and there's also, I'm going to slip this in too, because I happened to last night when it popped on my email, I quickly printed it, and there's a qualifier, NHC qualifier, $100 entry fee today. Santa Anita races 1 through 8, and you get it's a full NHC package, hotel, $500 travel, and one guaranteed seat, and then from there, depending on how many people sign up, it's a pick and play. So be aware if you want to get involved today, you got till 4 o'clock Eastern to get ready for it. Just a $100 entry fee, horseplayers.com, and qualify for the NHC. So I thought to get out in front of that.
And we've got good weather today, which we've got more rain coming, unbelievably. The word is that we've had over 33 inches of rain since opening day, which is, just remarkable. I mean, we're making up for all these recent drought years in a hurry. And, in fact, well, we've had over 33 inches of rain since December 26th. During that same period, Seattle's had about 7 inches of rain. So you think of Seattle and all the rain they usually have. So we've kind of taken the place of Seattle this winter. And we got a good feature in that 8-race card, the 7th race at 7 furlongs. For 3-year-old fillies, and Coffee in Bed, who was really impressive first time out. This is a $500,000 auction purchase by Curlin for Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela. I mentioned then Beholder, of course, he trained the great Beholder, and as the trainer of Teen Ella, who ran second in that Angels flight yesterday. And this Coffee in Bed could be possibly a star material here for Spendthrift Farm. Her debut, I mean, she won clearly, but it was even more impressive than it appears when you look at it on paper. I mean, she just really came home so strongly in that race, and it was just under a hand ride. And, I mean, she just won with authority, really. It galloped out big, and now she stretches out today from that 6 furlongs to 7 today. I think that's going to work really well for her. She's a half-sister to a Grade 3 Stakes winner. Great strike. So, and then get the Money is not Chopped Liver in there either. She's by Midnight Loot. She's a 200-plus auction purchase, and she comes off the bench for Brian Corner. But she looked terrific in her maiden win at Del Mar last summer, and she's been working quite well in preparation for this. So she's not going to be any pushover in here, I don't think. So those two fillies, it's going to be interesting to see them both in action later this afternoon in Santa Anita. And then over the weekend at Santa Anita yesterday, we had a number of our prominent 3-year-olds on the work tab. Reincarnate, who is the morning line favorite for the Arkansas Derby, worked a sharp 5 furlongs of 59 and change for trainer Tim Yankeen. We also had Go Rocket Ride working 6 furlongs for Richard Mandela at 113. We had Skinner working for John Sheriffs at 114. National Treasure, who missed the Robert B. Lewis with a foot problem, another really excellent workout for him, 112 and change. Most likely he's headed to the Bluegrass Stakes, whereas Go Rocket Ride, Skinner are headed for the Santa Anita Derby. They haven't ruled out the Santa Anita Derby for National Treasure, but the leader on the board for him for his next start is the Bluegrass Stakes, and then Practical Move was just another really sparkling move yesterday morning for Tim Yak team. A bullet work, and he did it so easily, best in 94 and 59 and 1/5. And the fact that Practical Move had a work like that made me very happy, since I, in that pool four of the Kentucky Derby Future Wager on February 12th, I bet 200 on him at 83-1. So I'm looking at a little under $17,000 if he wins the Kentucky Derby. And I also, on February 12th, put 200 on a colt by the name of King's Barnes at 35-1. So I was certainly happy with what happened in the Louisiana Derby with King's Barnes, who, this is a very serious colt. He happened to win that race at Tampa Bay Downs, his second career start, the day that pool four of the Kentucky Derby Future Wager closed. And I don't closely follow the race at Tampa Bay. I just happened to see that, and I thought, wow, that was really impressive. And I know they've been very high on him. And at 35-1, I thought, you know what, I'm going to just put a couple of hundred on him, too. So if he wins the Kentucky Derby, that'll be $7,000 for me. So I got some real live ones this year in the future wager department.
Nice job, John. And I had forgotten about the Practical Move bet. Everybody's falling over themselves about Forte, heading toward Derby. I was at Santa Anita for the San Felipe, and I don't know why Practical Move isn't in close attendance with everybody's analysis. Frankly, I don't see anything wrong from any standpoint with him stylistically. There's everything to like about Practical Move, and if everybody's going to anoint Forte, let's see what happens here Saturday. But, it seems like everybody's convinced themselves already.
Well, look, Forte is a terrific horse. In fact, Todd's been high on him all along. He was so impressive in his career debut. And, he's got the one loss on his record, but he was so impressive in his 2023 debut, no question about it. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does. It was dealt a little bit of a early April Fool's joke with this post position for the Florida Derby. The stats are the stats, and it's not a pretty situation where he is, but, we've seen horses like Big Brown and like Barbaro win from out there. So if you're really a top horse, and remember Big Brown winning for post 20 in the Kentucky Derby. Listen, when Al had another ran in the Kentucky Derby, and I had him in the feature book, I was on the HRTV set sitting next to Millie Ball, and we were there when they were doing the draw for the Kentucky Derby, and Al have another got post 19, and I'm looking at the stats on that. No horse
that's right
up to that point, and still has never won from post 19. He's the only horse with the history in the race to ever. But I'll tell you, the expletive deleted that I uttered on that desk because we were off the air. It's like the only time I've ever uttered an expletive deleted sitting on the desk, because you never know when you might be on the air. But I it was a spontaneous reaction to that post position. I thought, oh my God, here's a horse I like for the Kentucky Derby, and he draws post 19. You got to be kidding me. And I was off the air shortly after that. I'm driving home. And as I'm in the car, I got to thinking, look, if he's the horse that you think he is, 19 probably won't beat him. Either he's good enough to win it, or he's not good enough to win it, and it's that simple. And I got home, and my wife said, oh, I'm so sorry that he drew post 19. I said, I was mad at first, but I said, at this point, he's either a really good horse and can win it from there or not, and he came through for me from post 19, so... but, Steve, you're so right. Practical Move is just a very good colt. He's a very serious three-year-old. He just is. You put this race in the context of his Los Al Derby. He's heading in the right direction. I don't think we've seen anything close to the best from him yet. That's the key. In other words, we're not seeing some horse that was a big star as a two-year-old that is trying to continue on. He's got that upward trajectory that you like to see, like an I'll Have Another, or a lot of the Kentucky Derby winners we've seen through the years. So, and these two workouts he's had since the San Felipe, I mean, when you hear Tim Yakin use words like fantastic, and he used that for the last workout by Practical Move, I mean, Tim Yakin is not one to throw out the superlatives. He's a very low-key guy. And that, it's like when Charlie Whittingham, who was one of his former bosses along with Bob Backert, I mean, when Charlie Whittingham would say to me, gee, that was pretty good, that meant that was sensational. In other words, there was a whole Charlie Whittingham scale of the way he would describe something, a lot different than a lot of trainers who would have said, wow, that was sensational, or that was just fantastic, like Tim Yakin said. So, I mean, if Charlie Whittingham would have ever used the word fantastic, I might have fainted in his presence.
Yeah, you mentioned a few of the other Santa Anita Derby players, and I spent a good portion of the early morning today putting together my point, the little point ranking thing that I do at Derby Trail with the upcoming, last handful of 100-point races, and obviously with the Florida Derby and Arkansas Derby draws all set now, but the Wood, the Bluegrass, the Santa Anita Derby, and we'll see what happens with the Lexington. Practical Move will come in with 60 points, Go Rocket Ride 20, and Skinner 15. If National Treasure goes out of town, and National Treasure's got no points, worry about him with the Bluegrass field. Confidence Game, Race Cane, Tap It Trice, Classic Car Wash, Blazing Sevens, Spare Fine, Haze Strike, and maybe National Treasure. The horse that has to be included in this discussion, first of all, Skinner, to me, kind of made that forward move that we had talked about with John Sheriffs. Keep an eye on him. All three of those top contenders, Practical Move, Go Rocket Ride, Skinner, feel like, it won't be any surprise for all three of them to get the points they need next week. The point for those keeping track, 100, 40, 30, 20. Mandarin Hero, and in light of what went on with the Japanese over the weekend at Maidan, Mandarin Hero, the discussion with him has got to, start to come to the fore. So Santa Anita Derby next week, we'll look forward to that. Meanwhile, John, your quick impressions, because I got to get Todd here in about 6 minutes, your quick impressions of the winners over the weekend, King's Barge, you already discussed. What did you think of Two Phils?
I thought he was very impressive as well, and it kind of irked me because I liked him last time out in the Risen Star. And I liked, at the top of the lane, I thought he might win that race, but then he just, flattened out. And I was disappointed in that race with him, but boy, did he run a terrific race. There's no question about it. Of course, there's the question of the synthetic, but look, you get a 1-1 buyer, that's impressive no matter what you're running on. So, and I'm so tickled. There's another trainer that's just done such a good job throughout his entire career. And I think it's wonderful for him to be headed to the Kentucky Derby with a horse like this. So, but really the two most impressive performances I saw over the weekend, the most impressive was Equinox in Dubai. I mean, that was just jaw-dropping to me. I mean, that horse, he might very well be the best horse in the world at this point. And the second one that was jaw-dropping as well was that Money's Gold. With that 106 buyer breaking the track record at Tampa Bay, I'll be very interested to hear what Todd has to say about her, because she was so impressive getting that 101 buyer in her career debut last year as a 2-year-old. And when you look at the